We're still studying the Holy Spirit.
Romans 5.
You haven't had any part of it.
You should listen.
Therefore, being justified by faith, the thing that we must remember is that the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ incarnate, was manifested in the flesh, but only justified in the Spirit. In other words, there was never a justification for him, and after anyone's understanding, after yours, after theirs, after his, he was manifested in the flesh, but he never thought about justifying him in the flesh. Can you understand that?
He did perform miracles, but that was like the only thing, really.
We're going to get to that in a minute.
Okay.
He was manifested in the flesh, but his justification was only in the Spirit. Now, it'll take us an eternity to understand that. If you never, ever once felt the need to justify yourself to your parents, to your spouses, to your bosses, to me, I mean, can you taste what that freedom would be? Because some of you have spent, that's all you know about life is justifying self. And you do it, you've gotten real good at it. It's little turns of phrases and ways of asking questions and ways of saying stuff so that by the act of the statement that you're making, it's an act of self-justification, where it should be just commending openly rather than the thought-out structure.
Yeah.
So we're justified by the faith, but the faith is that we're justified in the Spirit.
Right.
Okay? There, because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have peace with God, I mean, you don't have to worry about having peace with anybody else. By whom also we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is the transfiguration. Every time you see the word glory, it means the ultimate event that can take place in time and space. And that glory of God was personified and manifested in Jesus Christ when he was transfigured on the Mount. And that's your goal. That's your only, the only reason. Everything else in your life is leading towards one point on the pyramid, and that is you being transfigured. There is no other thing that's taking place. Now, along that pathway, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Okay? And not only so, now if you know this, not only that, but we glory in tribulation. The glory of God is the transfiguration, but we in knowledge can glory in tribulation. And that's the dumbest statement in the history of the known universe. To glory in tribulation. Beat me, beat me, beat me.
Is our transfiguration, well, I mean, it seems obvious, the transfiguration, the tribulation is the...
It's the antagonism to cause the transfiguration to take place.
Wonderful.
Suffering is the way you get risen.
Sort of like the filament of a light.
Hmm?
Sort of like the
filament of a light.
What?
The light. The only reason the light is light is because the molecules of that filament have been exercised, tribulated, to the point where they're giving off heat.
They're on fire.
We glory in tribulation. Paul talked a great deal about believing in another gospel. The evidence that you believe in another gospel is that you think it's strange to suffer. By the way, I don't want anybody anymore, when I have this thing on and walking around, asking me how I am. Don't do that ever again.
Well, I'm just fine. That's why I have a big thing on my neck. Yeah.
Never, ever, ever ask me how I am if I have this stupid thing around my neck.
I did that today, didn't I?
Yeah. Not only did you.
I did.
So did you. So did you. So did you.
She did. Let's know I'm throwing the party line.
I don't want any more little cliches about, how you doing, Ollie?
I have a statement to make. You're the hardest person in the world to sympathize with that I've ever seen. You're impossible. I'm not just going to turn my back on you when I see you. Turn my face to split from Ollie because I'm doing it. I mean, you can't ever say anything that's soothing to you. It's just like,
yeah,
I wash my hands of it.
Yeah, you just ignore it.
Just wash your hands.
Ed, do something else.
Just wash your hands on Ollie.
Ed Pilot.
Ed Pilot. We glory in tribulation. Now, you see, there's not two... you're not doing well in the glorying in tribulation front here in this group of people. I mean, we're not really doing very well on that front. I mean, yeah. We got Harry here.
Whining.
We're whining, working our way up to the brain. We're on the road.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. You know, every day and every way, I think we're getting better and better.
Mm. That's good, Dad. Why don't you write that down in your history of the foundation?
Book of Ed Pilot.
Yeah, Ed Pilot.
Punchy Pilot.
Punchy Pilot.
We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation does something. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
That's it, knowing.
Knowing. Now, how do you know that?
By experience.
Yeah, but how did you know it the first time? How did you know to eat an oyster?
You don't know it the first time. You only know it when you look back and go, oh, yeah. And then you hope it will continue.
No. How did you know it the first time? How did you know it the first time? How did you know that you could glory in tribulation? Then why didn't you run away from the tribulation?
I tried to, but I couldn't get away from it. It followed me. It went faster than I
was. Why didn't you run away the first time you met me? Well, you did. Why didn't you run away?
I just kept coming back at you. You were everywhere. You can't get away from that, man.
A boomerang.
In the morning, the sun rose, and it was Ollie.
It's the Holy Spirit. I couldn't get away from it.
Is that the right answer?
There's only one way that you can know that tribulation worketh patience. And that's the same way that Peter knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that's by the Holy Spirit. You cannot possibly know that tribulation has any value except by the Holy Spirit. Because everything in you will run from it. You can have all these great lectures in school about how it builds character.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been to those. You got no pain, no gain. Every one of the football coaches and baseball coaches, and I mean that's their. But not one person believes it. What does patience mean? It's better, a better translation of the patience. Is steadfastness. Get the pen from.
There's a pen beside you.
Oh, there's a bunch of pens. Here. Patience, tribulation worketh patience, and patience means steadfast endurance, abiding. You cannot abide without suffering. If you had no suffering as a result of being around this body, you would have not abided. If you had no suffering.
No suffering.
As a result of being exposed to this doctrine, you wouldn't have stayed here. Okay? You believe that? That's what this says. It says that tribulation worketh steadfast endurance. Patience. And patience worketh experience. And the word experience there is, in the Greek, means tried or tested integrity. So the tribulation works the steadfast, results in the steadfast endurance. The steadfast endurance results in tested integrity. In other words, you know it works. And that experience worketh hope. And hope this word for hope here isn't like the word that Harry hopes that someday he'll get to go to bed with Natasha Kinski. That's not what this hope means.
Experience tested in integrity.
Hope. This hope means that you've seen it before, and therefore you know it's going to take place again.
So it's really not what we think. We think hope is like this blind optimism, but what you're talking about is confidence.
No, what I'm talking about is it's certainty, knowledge.
Like the
sun. Yeah, the sunrise is going to rise. Is a good example of what this word for hope means. It's tested. We know it because we've seen it over and over and over. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now the word ashamed there means ashamed, but it also means confounded or confused or in doubt or in depression. Hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, every time there is a propensity within you to say, oh shit, I'm going to throw in the towel, hope gets in the way. You know, for a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something mystical that takes place that interfaces between the throwing into the towel and the abiding. And it's the same hope. The best way, you can't believe how our bodies are. I mean, we are so attuned to light that we don't know it until we're deprived of it. I spent 3 months up near the Arctic Circle where it was dark for 24 hours a day. And it causes, the sunrise as the example of hope is a great example, because your body is attuned to this clockwork that the sun's going to arise, because when the sun comes up, then it enlivens the pineary body and all kinds of things. And here you are, and all of a sudden, for the first few days, when that sun doesn't come up, especially if you're there, your body acclimates to it, you know. But what happened to me is I was down here, and I flew up to Fairbanks, and it was all dark. And then it was dark. And then it was all dark. Then it was dark. Pineal body. But there was no hope. And there was, it was a bummer. So all I did is get drunk. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing you can do in that kind of thing.
And there's no morning after.
Hey, you just get drunk.
You have to stay
drunk all night.
It's like that lady in the cave who sleeps for 24 hours.
Sounds like my kind of
Anyway. But hope maketh not ashamed. The thing that always slaps you upside the head when you start experiencing doubt or fear or confusion is hope. Now, in truth, that hope is a childish thing.
Of
Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity, or faith, hope, and love. Faith is a childish thing. Hope is a childish thing. The only thing God wants is experience, tested, tried integrity.
That's the first time I've ever heard you say faith was a childish thing.
Faith's a childish thing. I didn't say it.
Well, he thinks faith, that childish is a pejorative term. It's not a put down.
Are you saying that because faith and hope is like a truth and it being childish that we have to look to that because it's constant? You know,
well,
it's like the end result is going to be love regardless.
No. Hey, faith and hope.
The stuff you get, love is what you give. That's what you're saying.
Faith and hope are steps on the way to getting beyond the childish things.
It's kind of like a factor.
Let's go. Go to keep your finger there and go to Hebrews 6 a minute.
Hebrews. Hey, Jew.
I'll be your favorite book.
I mean, Hebrews should have. Yeah, I felt right at home in the old synagogue today. Took Ethel to a job interview with a rabbi. I guess he didn't like the fact that she was a Christian. She needed the job.
Okay. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Now, I mean, that's a pretty wild statement. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving the principles of repentance, of faith, of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment.
It's like all this time we've been thinking Majorca's the place. And then it's like hearing,
Majorca's
kind of a dive.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone. Do you understand what?
Well, you can't teach physics to someone who doesn't know 2 plus 2. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. Okay, back to Romans 5.
What?
Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it's the same. I don't know. The translators just played around. Sometimes it's called the Holy Ghost, sometimes the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's only one word. Now, therefore, from the standpoint of you as a body, remember that we talked about him as a ninja last time, and about him, he's messing up your life and kicking down your sandcastles and doing all that kind of stuff. That's what he's doing in the world. But what he's doing in the body is shedding abroad the love of Christ Jesus. But notice, that love isn't revealed except through what? Tribulation. If you don't suffer with him, you won't reign with him. Now, how can you avoid suffering? You can't. You can't as a believer. You must reach the point where you no longer take your life back into your hands to escape suffering.
The problem is, you can't escape suffering, period.
Well, but you do. That's what every move, everything that the human, everything that the human race calls progress has been based on. The escape of suffering. Now they've reached a point where there are no more frontiers. Where are you going to go? If there's persecution now, there's no uninhabited place to go and inhabit.
I know. Let's go out into space.
Yeah, right. There's no more frontiers. All of the push of the frontierism in the history was based on the suffering of the place they were. It was the escape from the suffering that led them to what now in historians we call progress. And what If you believe the book of Hebrews, it was just all it did, all it happened was the bastards left. Because it says if you escape the suffering, then you're a bastard. That's pretty wild. It gives you a clue that what the Holy Spirit is doing in us as a body doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with what's happening in the world. We don't care about progress or lack of progress. It's not on our agenda. I don't care about helping causes. I care that you are tested. That's what the Holy Spirit cares about. He doesn't even care about converts. He cares that you are tested. So that the testing, a tribulation, worketh tried integrity, or steadfast endurance, and so that steadfast endurance works tried integrity. And that tried integrity lives based on hope. And then it's replaced by the love of God, which shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. Now, can you notice that there's the essence of what of this, the most odious of all words to the human race, besides suffering? The most odious of all words to the human race, in one degree or another, is patience. In order to experience, well, let's go to Luke 21. There's a strange scripture in Luke 21, verse 19. This is among the scriptures that Christ was giving as the last discourses before his crucifixion. And he said, in a very short scripture, "In your patience possess ye your souls."
Does that mean by your patience possess your souls? Or what?
Yeah, it means, better translated, is by your patience possess your souls. Now, remember I've told you 1,000 times that you have the authority under the laws, just as sure as the gravity, that you can command your soul. Remember what your soul is. Your soul is the thing that makes you you. It's your you-ness. It's your emotions, your will, your mind, your personality. It's your uniqueness. But you have the authority under the law, as sure as or more certain than the law of gravity, to command your soul to be at rest. Now, most of you have learned very little about that authority. You let the soul run amok. I mean, we've got, what? Harry lets his soul run amok for hours.
Just go berserk.
Right, he runs amok. And he just lets it go.
I get amok all over.
But all the rest of you do too. You just let it run amok. But you have the authority to command your soul to be at rest. And in that rest, the fruit of which is the patience, in the midst of the tribulation, the Holy Spirit, I promise you, will bring to your mind that you have the authority to command yourself to be at rest. You could ignore it. You can love the amuckness. Is that a good word?
It works.
You can love the amuckness. You love the disorder, the nihilism within your soul.
I like amuckness better.
That's the biggest deal that happens when you're having a fight. You get to the point where you see it clearly, and yet, like with me, it's like, I think I'm going to want to fight. Whatever it is about the drama or the...
Drama? Did you say drama?
Shut up. or the power or the emotion, the deep emotion.
Yeah, but what it does, all it does is it elevates you to be as God. That's what you do in a fight. All right. So somehow we've got to see the mystery of this. In your patience, or by your patience, possess ye your souls. I can't do that anymore, son, bitch. No, I can't. I mean, I just bent my neck down and I just about lost it. Now, the only way that you will be able, in the midst of tribulation, or in the midst of the angst, to have the presence of mind to command your soul to be at rest, is if you hear his voice. Go to John 10. We have to stop a minute. I'm about to lose it. Can you get the ice bag? It's in the refrigerator. Can you get it? Yeah, it's at my house. You know, here, you can get it. I'll take it, big guy. Now take it off.